Well, if this is 1977, somewhere right now at this very moment, Johnny Rotten is getting ready for a stage show with the Sex Pistols, looking into the mirror and seeing a huge, enormous zit on his forehead and thinking, "Great!" Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. The quiet diner. The empty diner. The diner hurtling back through time in ways that I cannot explain, predict. Well, actually, no, I can predict it. I've timed these things out, and it seems like we're leaping back 10-year increments every 33 minutes or so. So at this rate, actually, I might be where I'm supposed to be in a couple of hours. Unless, of course, I'm just meant to keep going backwards and backwards and backwards through time, in which case, I really screwed up. Royally. Large. When did they say that? When did they royally screwed up? I mean, monarchs are known for their supposed infallibility. They make mistakes. Who doesn't? But it's sort of like the opposite of papal infallibility. Royal incompetence, hence the expression, "I royally screwed up." What are there any great royal screw-ups out there? I mean, any ones more profound and long-lasting than those made by democratically elected leaders? I don't know. I don't think so. Let's just say that if I do keep going back in time and I end up in some monarchical society, I'm not going to use the phrase "royally screwed up" because the king's men will be at me with halberds. Anyway, here I am sitting at my accustomed place because I daren't move. I don't dare move. I have no idea what will change things. So I'm just sitting here at my stool at the long boomerang pattern formica counter at the diner, which, as I noted before, is hurtling backward through time, probably riding down some long, infinite razor blade of a superstring connecting the various, space-time continui or whatever the Latin plural is. I don't know. I'm hungry. I'm tired. My head aches. And it's one thing to go back in time, and I know that I am because every time I turn on the radio here, jukebox is useless. It only has one song. Every time I turn on the radio, I pick up what appears to be the music of the era outside the diner, but I can't see anything out the window. I can't go out the door. Just know I'm here by what's on the radio. Which isn't, now that you think about it, all that good of a indication, really. I mean, I could be back in 2007 and just tuning in various stations devoted to subgenres and subcliques and sub-eras of music. I mean, there are songs that just... Damn fly. Shoo! I mean, there are radio stations that are devoted to nothing but playing music from the 70s, and I cannot imagine why. Those of us who grew up in that era are keen to put it behind us, shall we say, and those who didn't, I cannot understand their nostalgic attachment to a decade that they did not share, that they did not experience, that they did not have draped around them like a ton of wet kelp. Oh, what a decade. I'll say this about the 70s, though. I entered it as a child, and I left it as a man. I mean, in the modern sense of the phrase, man, which meant that I was legally able to drink, smoke, and fornicate. But not a man in the sense that previous generations had had. I mean, in 1979, I was 21 years old. And I think when people of my father's generation were 21, they'd killed a lot of people, frankly. And then put that behind them and gone back home to make more human beings. Such was the cycle of life. And, start jobs and have families and mortgages and the rest of it. But no, not us. No, not us in the 70s. When we were 21, it was time to go to college and wear our bell-bottomed pants and conceive that we were somehow in the vanguard of a new intellectual era. Little did we know. But I'll tell you this. When I was 12, as the 70s began, what promise and wonder the word 1970 had. It was unimaginably futuristic. Of course, when you're 12, you haven't known an awful lot of decades. Three at the most. But still, 1970, there was something hard and glinty and modern about it in a way that the 60s simply weren't. The 80s, of course, were impossibly distant. The 90s, well, that would be the age of moon bases and robot servants around the house and the rest of it. I don't know if any date will ever sound futuristic again. Think of it. 2100. No, it doesn't have the same vibe. I think we reasonably consider that it's going to be more of the same with just smaller toys and a couple of technological advancements that people will have completely taken for granted. But it won't be that much different. People will still be wearing ties. They'll still be listening to Money by Pink Floyd. I mean, it won't be that different. But somehow, 1970, 1980, 1990, and of course, the most, you know, the granddaddy of the futuristic years, 2001, all of those were out there like diamonds on a string waiting for us to get to them. And each one represented a new era, a new step of progress. And maybe it's just age on my part that I no longer expect progress to unfurl at the pace that I expected it would. And I don't really... Well, let's just say that my expectations of humanity and its ability to progress have been somewhat not exactly reinforced by what I've seen in my own life. But I think I'm onto something here. No numerical date to come really has any particular shazam to it. Not even 2112. We all know what happens in 2112, don't we? Well, if you listen to the Rush album, that's where the Patriarchal Society... Which has banned the electric guitar. Oh, man, and that really meant something to us in high school. We could see that one coming. You know, it was like an entire society run by hall monitors and social science teachers. They banned the electric guitar, man, until this one kid found one in a cave somewhere and was instantly able to play like Alec Lifeson. And subsequently, I think he was martyred for his use of the electric guitar, but it was okay because at the end of the first side of the album, the conclusion to the magnum rock opus 2112 by Rush, the Galactic Command came back or something and assumed control. It was a goosebump moment, dude. It was wicked. But 2112 was too far out. Man, what's the Mayan date that we're all supposed to kick? 26, 2012 or something like that? I don't know. But none of these dates have the same impact of 1970. Well, if this is 1977, the worst of the 70s are probably behind us. The cultural roots of the 80s, which would save us all, have been planted. 78 was a good year for me. My first love. And 79 was a lousy year for me. Lost my first love. To a lifeguard. At a Bible camp, too. Yeah. Well, at least I could have the consolation they didn't do anything. Well, enough of the 70s. I mean, seriously, I don't have anything to say about the decade. It was a cold, congealed fondue pot of a decade, and I'm glad it's done with. But, as long as I'm here, let's see what delights from the most wondrous era ever of popular music the radio has to offer. Oh, great, it's Captain Groovy and his navy of grooviness. Oh, I'm sure they did. That's how sailors get off ships. They roll. They don't sail, they ride. To another shore. We can laugh our lives away and be free once more. As opposed to the fascist tyranny of San Francisco. Oh no. No one came at all. No one listened to the 73 sailors. They were too busy watching those old raindrops fall. Take that, BJ Thomas. So it's not so peaceful then. Well, why don't you wait until the storm's over before you sail? That's the quality I want in a captain. Amazement. Look at me, I got a crew! How'd that happen? But probably did not. Sorry. I shouldn't whistle. Very sorry about that. But that's how deeply imprinted this song is in my brain. I mean, if it comes on occasionally in the loudspeakers at the grocery store when they play the 70s track, I'll start whistling the stupid guitar theme. It's because I listened to it over and over and over again when it came on. I was down in the basement doing model rocketry, I think, when this song was popular. I was an Estes kid, in case you were curious. And I thought it was a very deep and spiritual song. And for that, I can only blame the glue fumes as I drew little beads of tester's glue along the fuselage and attached small flimsy plywood fins. What was the other song they played, Perpetuity? Oh, Brandy. That was it. Brandy by Lighthouse. That was about it was about a sailor, actually, who thought Brandy was a fine girl, but he didn't want to go out with her. He, probably the captain from this ship, you know, the one with the 73 guys from San Francisco. Brandy, you're a fine woman, but my wife and my lady is the sea. That's right. So I can't date you. Not that I wouldn't. Right. Sure. Well, 1970-something or other, that was Blues Image with Ride, Captain Ride. A song that's longer than it seems to be and essentially repeats the first part for the second part. Oh, whoa! That's self-refuting right there. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. When I go round and circle. Oh, if you hold the wheel all the way to the left, yeah. When they fly high like a bird up in the sky. Not inconsistent with going round in circles. Many birds have been known to go around in circles. When they fly high like a bird up in the sky. Buzzards, for example, when looking for carrion. I've got a story, ain't got no morrow. Let the bad guy win every once in a while. It's an interesting tune, and it's actually one of the few to detail the genesis for most scientific advancements. I mean, when you think about it, inventions begin when somebody asks a question. Can I project my voice over the ether? Can I inscribe sound upon a wax cylinder? Will it go round in circles? Will it fly high like a bird up in the sky? I would have liked if Mr. Preston had informed us as to the results of his experiments. It would have been nice if he'd come out with a subsequent follow-up hit that said, yes, indeed, it did go round in circles, clockwise, as a matter of fact, and while it didn't necessarily go up high like a bird in the sky, it went about 40 yards up before falling down and then attempting to move in a circular fashion, but really describing more of an irregular line which may or may not have been due to the fall or to its failure to attain escape velocity. These things are unclear. And then from this, we would have learned something. Perhaps after they studied the data, there would be some new hypotheses about the ability of things to go around in circles. Or it might have confirmed some other theoretical postulate that somebody in a university had put out there 10 years before, which was just waiting for the right combination of events, i.e. the circularity of the thing and the flying up high like a bird in the sky of the thing, to affirm or disavow what the scientists had put forward. So I'm just saying, sometimes it, you know, you'd like some scientific rigor from the fifth Beatle, but you don't always get it. You know, these artists, their minds, they're like quicksilver. They're always off to the next thing. Well, let's see. This has been productive, hasn't it? These aren't necessarily 1977 songs, but they're 70 songs. Anyway, let's see if I can find something a little closer to today's date or another horror from the error. The error. I am coming down with something. I meant to say era, as in the 70s era, and I said error. Freudian slip. You know, I am tempted to try the door again, even though I can't see anything out the windows here. Maybe there's something outside the door. I'm going to turn the radio off here and just, let's just go and open the door and see what happens.
The dog is cold.
sounds like out there? For all eternity? For infinity? This little shard of 1977 that's been ripped away from its moorings in the space-time continuum and langoliered and thrown out into the inky beyond, that's what it sounds like out there? It's too horrible to contemplate. Let me try it again. Well, back to the radio here.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
Jurgen, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, especially when you're broke. Well, the one place to come back is home.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, it's almost over. The houseware sale at your nearby Holiday Station store has only today and tomorrow left. Savings galore on household items of all kinds, like a 3-yard roll of self-adhesive vinyl shelf paper. Holiday has many bright colors and designs to choose from, and it's only 99 cents a roll. Another saving bargain for the home is Corningware. It's a beautiful and useful trio set of covered 1, 1.5, and 2-quart saucepans for only $9.98. This regular $11.88 set is perfect for gifts or for your own home at Holiday.
Listen. You can get it at Target. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. At Target. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. With Deja Vu, an Atlantic record. A new album. Target price this week only at $3.67. That's low. The latest in sound is available now at Target.
No.
I was born and raised down in Alabama. On a farm way back up in the woods.
I'm gonna cry.
I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could.
Shamed.
My papa was a great old man.
Yep.
I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See,
a shovel.
Education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely paid the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down.
Good
one
man.
Day, Papa called me to his dying bed.
Now he's dying.
With his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. My son, it's all left up to you.
He had a little string orchestra there, too.
2 days later, Papa passed away. I became a man that day.
He was circumcised on
so
the spot.
I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood, too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said. With tears in his eyes on his dying bed, he said, Patches, I'm depending on your son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you to do the rest. Then one day a strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, cause every day I had to work the fields, cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my mama pray, Lord, give him strength to make another day. So years have passed and all the kids have grown. They just took Mama to a brand new home. I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years, saying, Patches, I'm depending on your son to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Oh, I can still hear Papa's voice.
Oh, I can still hear him too. Oh, songs were so sad back then. He just yanked at the heartstrings, man. What could be worse than Patches?
I don't recognize this one. Good. Phew, something to pick me up.
The love between the two of us was dying. And it got so bad I knew I had to leave.
No.
But halfway down that highway,
not this one.
When I turned around, I saw,
not this one,
my little daughter running after me.
Not this one.
I ain't ready, don't you walk so fast.
This heartstring yanking. All right, let's tune to another and turn it back on here and tune to another station. It's got to be something happy. ABBA, John Denver, Afternoon Delight, you know, all that great song about rubbing genitals in between the hours of 12 and 5. All right, here we go. Welcome to Bobby Boris Pickett's colonoscopy. Sounds like a Zildjian, man. All the great drummers use Zildjians. I remember this one. Oh, God. Snuff pop. Sort of the logical extension of all those drag racing at Dead Man Curve stories, except, well, this guy's D.O.A. That's the name of the song, and it's by Bloodrock.
Laying here, looking at the ceiling
of the ambulance.
Someone lays a sheet across my chest.
Cause they're sick of looking at that mess. Ugh.
Something warm is flowing down my fingers.
Blood, plasma, your life essence, guilt.
Pain is flowing all through my back.
But not for long, cause your spine's broken. See? And essentially, those are really phantom pains. Something your mind is trying to compensate the loss of sensation by imagining all the pain. It's mind's, it's got its funny ways. Anyway, it'll be over in a while, because you're not going to make it to the hospital. We know that, because we've been listening to the song over and over and over again with our friends in the dark room, and it's really cool and it's spooky because he's dead.
I tried to move my arm and there's no feeling.
Because there's no arm.
And when I look, I see there's nothing there.
What did I tell ya?
The face beside me stopped it totally bleeding.
I'm sorry, what?
The girl I knew has such a distant stare.
Yeah, cause, well... Flying a car or a plane or what? What did you, how can you hit something in the air? A tree, guardrail or something like that, but not the air. Air itself is a medium through which you pass. It'll cut you a little slack because you're dying. And breaking into four-part harmony as you have an out-of-body experience, but oh,
I look straight at the attendant.
His badge says, Fred.
His face. As pale as it can be.
Yeah, because he had to pick your penis out of the bushes.
He bends and whispers something softly.
Your fly's open.
He says, there's no chance for me.
He's a poly positive, isn't he? Yeah, you were flying low and hit something in the air. I'll mention it to the police so they can put it in their report. I'm sure that'll be very helpful. God, it's like the world's longest PSA. Don't drink and drive. Don't speed. Buckle up. You have to feel sorry for Casey Kasem introducing that one every week. Climbing up the charts again, it's DOA from Blood Rock. Oh, but we listened to it. It gave us the chills. Gave us the shivers because the guy's dead, man. I just can't imagine anybody ever putting this on at a party. Maybe they did to get all soulful and dark and the rest of it. What a buzzkiller this would be. Wait a minute. Chatty Cathy's getting up off the gurney again. Here we go.
Life is flowing out my body.
Actually, that's urine and feces.
Pain is flowing out with my blood.
Well, out with the bad, in with the good.
The sheets are red and moist where I'm lying.
Bleach and pre-soak, I tell you.
God in heaven, teach me how to die.
Oh, it'll come to you.
I remember we were flying alone and hit something in the air.
Well, that was the 70s. Everybody dies. What a good time. Let me try this other station here and see if I can pick up something cheerful since we're almost coming to the 33-minute mark. And so another cheerful 70s song comes to the end with the death of the singer, the quietus of the protagonist. Yes, what have we got so far? We've got DOA, where the guy kills himself and his girlfriend in an alcohol-fueled speeding accident. We have Patches, in which the singer is born poor, and then his daddy's poor, and then daddy dies, and they're still poor, and then mommy's poor, and he's poor, and then mommy dies and leaves Patches to be poor, but he remembers his daddy reminding him that essentially he's poor. And then, of course, we have Indiana Wants Me, but he can't go back there because he's wanted for murder. Why? Well, if I remember the lyrics correctly, he shot a guy. He shot a guy because nobody had the right to say the things to you that he said and live. So the guy lipped off to his girlfriend and he popped him. That's great. That's wonderful ethics. And this is the guy that we're supposed to feel sorry for. Mr. Manners, I guess. Was there nothing happy in those days? I remember them differently. Somehow I don't remember them all being that grim. Let's try the other station.
Candyman.
Yes!
Candy you want?
Sweet, crack, coke, apples with razors,
gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man.
I hate frickin' Dean Martin.
Who can take a sunrise?
Who can take a black man?
Sprinkle it with you.
Convert him to a Jew.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two.
The Sammy Man can.
The Candy Man.
Oh, the Sammy Man can. Ah, the Sammy Man can. You know, he's got a glass eye. We don't know which one is good. Left, right. What do you say?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. The Candy Man.
The Candy Man.
The Candy Man can.
The Candy Man can,
cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good. The Candy Man can.
was never my childhood wish. I don't think kids really want to eat the dishes. It's like those fantasy worlds they would give us, where everything was made of candy. Well, no. I don't want to eat the corner of a house. I don't want to drink from a fudge river. Thank you very much. Sounds like some horrible metaphor for a really disgusting personal practice. But this song, when it came out, made me happy. It just made me happy. It made me feel like a kid. And now that I think about it, when it came out, I'm not exactly sure of the year, but I don't think that the full panoply of adolescent emotions and chemicals had started coursing through my system yet. So I was still on the happy side of the equation, not yet pitched into the dark miseries and dank neuroses that characterize modern teenhood. It just made me feel great. And to tell you the truth, for all the downers that the 70s produced, this was a nice happy little moment. And I can't imagine that they would put out a song this unapologetically, non-ironically happy today. There's something almost suspect about happiness that isn't filtered through the right sensibilities, if you know what I mean. Well, I'm due to go back to the 60s here in just a few minutes or so, about 30 seconds. Oh, here it comes.
Good time travel.
Sometimes they don't feel as bad as the one before. That was relatively easy. All right, I'm guessing now I'm back in 1967, and we'll pick this up next week, or tomorrow, or 5 minutes from now. I have no idea. Time, shall we say, is a fluid and confusing thing. And then after 33 minutes of that, we'll keep going back until I find out what it is I'm supposed to do with a giant Pillsbury Terminator 9-foot robot from the future and my future plot plan to keep the diner from being sold, which obviously didn't work because it was, but then in the future I send myself back and it's all just highly confusing. But we'll figure it out eventually, I hope. Thanks for dropping by, folks. This has been The Diner for 1977. I'm James Lilacs, and I'll see you down the road.